This morning on WCHL, parents in the Chapel Hill Carborough City School System are afraid a dual language magnet at Carborough Elementary might pull that school apart.
I'm not interested in doing something super major by 2014. I think that our communities will not support that, and I can't support that.
Where are Chapel Hill Carborough schools in the newly released Common Core Standard testing?
This is baseline data. It's our first year picture, and we can't compare it to last year.
And Greg Meyer is officially your newest representative in the North Carolina General Assembly. These stories and much more. Plus your Chapel Hill Carborough traffic and weather together. And in WCHL Championship Sports, homecoming kicks off on the gridiron tomorrow, but not before women's soccer and local high school football action tonight. And
if P.J. Hairston doesn't play this season, it's the NCAA that will do it, not the university.
That's this morning in Art Chansky's Sports Notebook.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's morning news with Ron Stutz begins now.
8:05 at WCHL, 38 degrees in Chapel Hill, finally warming up a couple of degrees. We expect lots of sunshine today. Our high this afternoon in the upper 50s, no rain in the forecast, and a really nice weekend. Before we get to those other stories we just talked about, one thing you can always count on in the morning, the sun will come up and Congressman David Price will be there. And Congressman David Price, who lives here in Chapel Hill, is with us this morning on the WCHL Morning News. And Congressman Price, thanks for joining us. Before we get started on the rest of our conversation, I want to mention Howard Coble, who just announced his retirement. Do you have any thoughts on the retirement of Coble?
Well, I think back on many years of friendship and service together. Howard's a good person and a dedicated representative. We, of course, our politics have been different over the years, but then again, we found things we could work together on. We've pushed textile research for years, for example, and worked on North Carolina disasters and many other things where we came together. So. Howard is one of the best-liked members up there. He's an affable fellow, always has a good word, and he reminds us, I think, of a time when politics was not quite as hard-edged.
Everywhere you go, I'm sure you have to answer questions about the budget. What is the current status of budget negotiations in Washington?
Well, I guess they're finally occurring is the basic thing to say, and that... Of course, shouldn't have to brag about that. That should have happened 8 months ago. But we are looking toward these negotiators to produce a budget agreement for the rest of this fiscal year, which began on October 1. I hope that'll mean we can go back to the appropriations bills we worked so hard on and bring the House and Senate versions together and have a budget that meets our basic needs. But there are these longer term issues. What are we going to do about the fact that our tax code simply doesn't pay our way? And what about the long-term future of so-called entitlement programs, Medicare, Social Security? And then what about the overly severe sequestration cuts, across-the-board cuts that have already occurred? How do we mitigate that? So those are the big questions those negotiators are going to be dealing with. They've got a lot of work to do before December 15th.
Congressman Price, the Affordable Care Act has been such a contentious issue for everyone involved, and basically, good product, bad website, which is unfortunate. Everybody's talking about it. What is your take on the Affordable Care Act?
Well, we got to get it right, and many people are going to be depending on this, and I'm confident we will get it right. I think the website problems are, of course, very regrettable. I get it that these things are very, very complicated, but I would hope and expect that the best talent in the country is working on this. In the meantime, folks can check in, for example, at the Piedmont Health Center in Carborough or use the hotline. I mean, there are ways that one can enroll by phone or in person, but we got to get this website running, and they're working on it day and night. The reports I've had are that people are now getting through, and it's improving day by day.
The historic Employment Non-Discrimination Act looks like it's going to pass the Senate very soon. This bill bars workplace discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation. Tell us the latest on that and the prospects of getting this thing done.
Well, you know, that's unexpected good news. I think that the Senate has gotten together sufficiently to pass that. That's long overdue legislation, but at the same time, in the current political climate, it wasn't clear that it would get done. So that's kind of a breakthrough. And, of course, we had it earlier with Don't Ask, Don't Tell. This is an issue that's moving pretty fast. People's attitudes are moving pretty fast. And, of course, the younger generation wonders what all this was about in the first place. It really is. I've never seen an issue where the difference between older people and younger people sometimes was as great. So we're seeing that. And that's really reflected in the Senate vote. Like so many other things, though, whether it can get past House Republicans is going to be the big question. And John Boehner so far has said, no way.
He says it's unnecessary. I don't recall a time ever when we've been so polarized in this country, not just on this issue, but just a variety of issues. So much difference in the way people think. And it's a very hard time to be serving as a politician.
Well, the division that we see between the two parties, and especially the leverage that the Tea Party, so-called Tea Party views have on the Republican Party, that really has made for a very rough patch here. Some indications in the election Tuesday that might change, might be breaking up. I hope so. But there are many, like you said, there are many, many issues that are getting caught in this bind right now. The most recent one may well be employment non-discrimination, but right up there is immigration reform and for that matter, the budget. I mean, you know, the majority of the House of Representatives didn't want to shut the government down, but it was this Ted Cruz faction, just to oversimplify a little bit, you know, the more right-wing types who decided this would be a good idea. The Republican conference as a whole, I think, and the cooler heads in the group are going to have to come together and chart a different course. And there's some indication they are beginning to do that.
Congressman Price, I know you haven't had a lot. You've got enough on your plate, and you haven't had a lot of time to think about this. But any thoughts on Carolina and Virginia tomorrow?
Well, we know who we're pulling for. I hope. I can't be there myself. I'm unfortunately, I'm going to be in Veterans Day observances down in Fayetteville, but certainly we'll be following it. Wish the Tar Heels well.
Well, Congressman Price, we appreciate your taking the time to join us this morning, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Ron. Good to talk to you.
It's 8:12 at WCHL. We have Jones Angel standing by to talk about that football game coming up. And right now, let's take a break for traffic and weather together on WCHL. This traffic report is brought to you by Cruisers, convenience marketplace serving fresh brewed coffee, fast, guaranteed to taste great. Fuel up this morning at Cruisers. Good to go, and bless you, Rand Norton.
Sorry, I had a little tickle in my throat, actually. It jumped up on me.
It sounded like a sneeze. Yeah. I guess it was a cough.
It sounded like one of your sneezes.
No, it wasn't that loud. Well, what's happening in traffic?
15501 southbound, seeing a little bit of a delay right now between Garrett Road and I-40. Also, NC-54 eastbound and westbound between Barbie Chapel Road and I-40. Those just moderate delays, nothing heavy, and no accidents out there as it's being reported. If you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior and give us a call at 919-967-8363. You can also tweet us at WCHL. No matter how you contact us, though, we ask you do it safely.
By all means. And thank you so much.
Thank you.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Cover of Weather, brought to you by Glass Half Full, the friendly, optimistic restaurant, wine bar, and wine shop right in the heart of downtown Carrboro. Good food, fine wine, and lots of fun. Online at glasshalffullcarrboro.com. 38 degrees in Chapel Hill, 37 in Carrboro. It's beginning to warm up a little bit now. Lots of sunshine today. Cooler temperatures. Highs today about 58. Tonight, clear and cold with the lows in the low 30s. Tomorrow, sunny skies with the highs in the low 60s. Tomorrow night, clear with a low down around 40. And on Sunday, sunny with a high in the middle 60s. Great weekend coming up, although it is a little on the chilly side. 8:14 at WCHL.
It's just as important as a good cup of coffee. Start your day with the only radio station that brings you local news about local people right here in our local community. This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. Now, once again, here's Ron Stutz.
Anson Dorrance coming up in just a few minutes to talk about Carolina women's soccer as we get ready for the ACC women's soccer tournament. Right now, let's talk with the voice of the Tar Heels, Jones Angel, and let's talk a little football. Are you ready for the oblong spheroid tomorrow, Jones?
I like how I'm sandwiched in between Congressman Price and Anson Dorrance. No pressure on this interview. I am ready for football tomorrow. I think it should be an interesting game in Chapel Hill, and ready for some basketball tonight too. Of course, so a busy weekend for the Tar Heels.
Yes, it certainly is. And let's talk football. Carolina taking on Virginia tomorrow. Tar Heels now 3-5 on the season, which certainly to the uninitiated does not sound impressive. But given the 1-5 start and the 2 consecutive wins for Carolina, Tar Heels have mojo on their side right now, and we've had a little setback this week with Bren Renner. It's not a little setback, it's a big setback with Bren Renner being determined out for the rest of the season. But what are your prospects for the Tar Heels running the table at this point?
Yeah, well, I prefer to think about the 2-0 and not the 1-5 when we're talking about the Tar Heel football team. And you know, I don't know. I think you look at those four games as a whole, and certainly Carolina will have a chance to win every one of them. But you know, I think the way Larry Fedora and his staff are approaching this, or the old adage of one game at a time, but I really do think that's the case. And I think you saw that some against NC State. You know, Carolina didn't play great in that game, particularly early. Tar Heels had some mistakes, but they found a way to do it. And I think that right now is kind of the message that the coaching staff is trying to hammer home is, just find a way to be a little bit better than the team you're playing that day. Score a few more points than them, and then worry about the next opponent and the postseason and all that other stuff. Worry about that when it comes. And certainly the Tar Heels have an opportunity. They still have to continue to play well. They have to win 3 of their last 4 to qualify for a bowl. But it is doable, but it'll be a lot tougher if they don't get the win this weekend. So I think that's what the focus is right now, trying to beat a Virginia team that the record isn't real pretty, but has some talent and can certainly has the ability to come in here and get a win.
You and I have talked extensively about Marquise Williams and his capabilities. Of course, he has a lot more responsibility on his shoulders now. But what about the Tar Heel defense led by Kareem Martin and some big playmakers in the defensive backfield?
Yeah, Tar Heel defense has kind of quietly been playing pretty well here lately. State was the third opponent in the last 4 games that has ended up with fewer than 400 yards. Carolina had 9 tackles for loss in the game against the Wolfpack. They knocked away 8 passes in the secondary, had 2 interceptions. And also, what I thought was really important, forced field goals. Even when State had some offensive momentum, Carolina was able to force them to kick instead of getting into the end zone. And as the game played out, that turned out to be pretty important. So, you know, Carolina, I think, on the defensive side, continues to make some strides. It's not playing to the level that it wants to eventually be. But I do think that defense right now is playing solid and giving Carolina a chance to win the ball game. And right now, that's enough. So I've been really impressed. You mentioned Kareem. And golly, is there anybody on the defensive line in the league that's playing to the level he is right now? I don't know. There may be one or two, but it'd be hard to find. He has really been so good over the last month or so. And he did it again last week. 8 tackles, 3 for loss, another sack. And the senior continues to just play really, really well.
Jones, tomorrow, of course, homecoming at Carolina, a lot of festivities surrounding that, and it looks to be beautiful weather. We're looking for sunshine tomorrow, high in the low 60s, which to me is just seems perfect football weather. How much is the homecoming aspect of all of this weekend going to play a role in tomorrow's Carolina-Virginia game?
Well, you know, you hope that it brings some people back and that they enjoy the game and all those things, but I don't think it means a whole lot on the field. In fact, Ron, Virginia, last year had lost 6 in a row, just like it has this year. It had lost 6 in a row, went to Raleigh to play NC State for the Wolfpack homecoming, and beat State 33-6. So Virginia doesn't care that it's homecoming in Chapel Hill. The Tar Heels can enjoy the homecoming aspect of things after the game is over and they get a big win. So I think right now the Tar Heels are just worried about playing a little bit better than Virginia and trying to win its their third in a row.
Well, it's a good point, Jones. I guess Virginia doesn't care about it being homecoming at Chapel Hill, just like Carolina didn't care about it being homecoming in Raleigh last week.
That's right, yeah. It didn't face the Tar Heels last week, so we'll see if they can make it two consecutive homecoming wins in a row this year.
Well, Jones, we got another early game, 12:30 kickoff time in Keenan Stadium, and our coverage will start at 9 o'clock in the morning, and we'll be talking to you during WCHL's exclusive countdown to kickoff.
Looking forward to it, Ron. Always appreciate you having me on.
All right. We'll talk to you soon. It is 8:19 at WCHL, and just a little bit of more sports news on WCHL. Getting ready for it is a busy weekend. We got football, we got basketball, and we have women's soccer this weekend. After a 1-0 victory over Boston College last Sunday in Chapel Hill in the tournament quarterfinals, fourth-ranked North Carolina Tar Heels are off to Cary to meet the third-ranked Florida State Seminoles in the semifinals of the 2013 Atlantic Coast Conference Women's Soccer Tournament. Tar Heels are the tournament's number 3 seed. Seminoles are the number 2 seed. Those two teams will meet at 8 o'clock tonight in the semifinals after top seed Virginia and fourth seed Virginia Tech meet in the first semifinal game at 5:30 this afternoon. Coach Anson Dorrance, legendary coach of the Tar Heels, joins us now. And Coach Dorrance, I know that this time of the year, you must get, even as experienced as you are at this type of thing, you must get knots in your stomach when you're getting ready for this.
Actually, honestly, all of us get excited. These tournaments are outstanding. All the teams coming in that are left have high RPIs. All of us right now are sort of jockeying for a good NCAA seed. And the best thing about the ACC tournament is every one of these games, win or lose, actually helps your RPI. So I don't have knots in my stomach. I have the excitement of playing a team that beat us earlier to see if we can improve on our result against them. So honestly, we're looking at this thing as an opportunity.
This is like a national championship series here. All four teams appearing in tonight's semifinals ranked in the top 6 in this week's National Soccer Coaches Association of America poll. Virginia number 1, Florida State 3, Carolina 4, Virginia Tech 6. I don't know about you, Coach, but I just find that to be amazing at the level of play there is here in the ACC.
Yeah, and I think, Ron, you've hit the nail on the head. I think one thing that's unique about this year's conference tournament, certainly the four teams that are left, this could be the four teams left in the national championship tournament, also coincidentally held over at Wake Med Park the last couple weekends of our season here. So we think this is like a preview for the national championship weekend. And that's the attitude all of us have coming into this. We're very proud of our conference and the success of all the teams. And every team in this event that's left could easily win the national championship. So we're looking at this as almost like a preview of that event.
Coach, everybody knows about the accomplishments of the Carolina women's soccer program over the years, all the national championships and everything else. But such an important part of every year is the chemistry of each team. And every year it's a little different. Talk a little bit about the chemistry of this year's Tar Heel team.
Well, one thing I've really enjoyed is you see these different leaders emerge and you graduate a class and you're thinking, oh, my gosh, we're never going to replace that collection of extraordinary young women. We're not going to have that kind of leadership again. We're not going to have that kind of chemistry. And then what's really interesting and fun for all of us is to see these different kids emerge as leaders. And we've got four outstanding captains that not only get it done on the field, but also get it done outside of the confines of the field. Four great leaders in Kalia Ojai, my center forward, Crystal Dunn, of course, last year's National Player of the Year. Kelly McFarland, who's had an absolutely brilliant season for us at holding midfield, and Anna Seeloff, our goalkeeper. And I'll tell you, these four kids, we used to call them the weavers and bobbers, kids that were, you know, trying to get out of doing everything at every opportunity, and now all of a sudden they're captains, and there's this transformation as they've now taken full responsibility for the team and the chemistry, and they've been absolutely wonderful leaders. I'm very proud of them and very proud of the season we're having.
Well, Coach, I want to wish you good luck in your match tonight against Florida State and the ACC tournament in general and in the NCAA tournament beyond.
Well, Ron, I appreciate that, and I appreciate this opportunity to chat with you.
It's always great to talk to you, Coach, and have a great day and a good night tonight.
Thank you, sir.
That is Coach Hanson Dorrance, Carolina Women's Soccer Program. We're all excited about the action coming up later on today. Tar Heels coming off a 1-0 victory over Boston College last weekend here in Chapel Hill in the tournament quarterfinals. And now the Tar Heels, ranked number 4 in the country, are in Cary tonight to meet number 3 Florida State in the ACC tournament semifinals. Tar Heels, the tournament's number 3 seed going in. Game time tonight, 8 o'clock. And that will be following the game between Virginia and Virginia Tech. And the first semifinal game, which starts at 5:30. If you're interested in going over there, the venue for this year's tournament, once again, the Wake Med Soccer Park in Cary. It's 8:24 at WCHL. Let's get back to football for just a moment here. UNC and Virginia will get it on tomorrow at 12:30, Keenan Stadium, sitting at 3-5 of the season. Tar Heels can ill afford a slip-up. There's been a lot of talk about aspirations of making a bowl game, even after Carolina's unfortunate start. It has to start again tomorrow. You have to take them one game at a time. That's what Coach Larry Fedora always says. Tonight is a night Tar Heel basketball fans have been looking forward to since Carolina was bounced in the second round of the NCAA tournament by Kansas back in March. Regular season opener for Carolina basketball. It's official now. It will tip off at 9 o'clock tonight against the Oakland Golden Grizzlies in the Dean Smith Center. Head coach Roy Williams says he's comfortable with having a little different look this year. He's comfortable with having both Marcus Page and Nate Britt out on the floor at the same time. A lot of people have been talking about this. He says he played three-point guards while he was at Kansas and got a roaring success out of that.
I think playing two-point guards in 100 years ago, 2002, I guess it was, I started three-point guards and we went all the way to the Final Four. It was one of the most comfortable teams I've ever coached because we didn't turn it over now. But, no, I'm comfortable with that.
Roy says Carolina's success this season will likely hinge on the ability to dominate around the rim and collect rebounds to earn second-chance opportunities. In other words, the play of the Carolina big men. Free throw shooting has been a bit of an issue for the Tar Heels in recent seasons. That's why Roy says the players have been shooting their fair share of them and more in practice.
You know, we've had some teams that shot it poorly. We had some teams that shot it great. 2009, we had 5 guys that shoot close to 80%. I like that. You know, when you shoot it poorly, it's not good for you. But everybody on the team shot over 200 free throws last weekend, recorded by a manager. And one guy shot 67 and one guy shot 69. Everybody else was above 70, so we just need to keep doing that.
WCHL's coverage of tonight's game begins at 7 o'clock with countdown to tip-off. In addition, WCHL and ChapelBlue.com's Tar Heel Take Team will be on hand to give you an inside look at all the energy and excitement surrounding Carolina basketball in the Dean Smith Center. You can read the story and follow all the latest on our website at chapelbro.com. And UNC women's basketball coach Sylvia Hatchell has been in all our thoughts and prayers as of late. She has returned home now after nearly a month at the UNC Limeburger Cancer Center. Coach Hatchell recently stepped aside as head coach for the time being when diagnosed with leukemia. But Coach Hatchell says she is getting better.
I'm doing great. You know, the doctors, I can't believe how well I've done and how I've taken the treatments, and I've exercised every day. Only one day did I not exercise. But I feel really good. My numbers are great right now. In fact, they were a whole lot better than when I came in here.
Coach Hatchell's first day out of the UNC Limeburger Center in a month was yesterday, and she has plans to spend some time with her team.
I can't wait to go see my golden retriever, Maddie, so I'm excited to see her. But you know, I get to see the team this afternoon, and we're going to do a team-building exercise together, so that'll be really special to see those kids and all that stuff.
That was the excitement leading up to yesterday's practice. Coach Hatchell has a large following of fans and supporters who've been sending her mail and tweeting about her. She says that all that support has been great.
The outpouring of love and friendship and all has just been absolutely unbelievable. And so, and not out of the woods yet with everything. And so we got to continue. The biggest thing is I just need people praying for me.
Coach Hatchell is a fighter. No question about that. To hear all the comments from the coach, you can view this story on our website at chapelbro.com. Coming up at the end of our next newscast, we'll talk more about high school football coming your way tonight on WCHL. It's 8:28.
Archansky Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
If P.J. Hairston doesn't play this season, it's the NCAA that will do it, not the university. This is Archansky with Friday Sports Notebook. Rumors are rife this week that the P.J. Hairston decision will not be a good one for Carolina and Tar Heel Nation. They stem from reports that the mother of another player who spent time with P.J. claims whatever wrongdoing falls much more in the lap of Hairston than her flesh and bloods. Well, what do you expect? But if her running on has given the NCAA more ammunition, then whatever suspension it was going to give PJ or uphold by Carolina could be lengthened to as long as the entire season. If the rental car of an unscrupulous friend that Hairston was driving around is ruled an impermissible benefit and is deemed as such for so many months, the NCAA might decide a full year out is just penalty. UNC has not said much about it beyond that Hairston will play some games this season. Whoever is involved in making this decision, besides Roy Williams, could have a number of games in mind, but cannot say anything until hearing from the NCAA about PJ and Leslie McDonald's illegal participation in a summer league. So once again, we find ourselves at the mercy of the suits in Indianapolis. What to expect is hard to figure, since there doesn't seem to be a formula for how the NCAA hands down sanctions. Carolina got slammed to the tune of 15 lost football scholarships and a one-year bowl ban. Miami, which self-imposed a two-year bowl ban, gets to play in the 2013 postseason and only loses 9 scholarships for transgressions that were reportedly far worse than UNC's. And there are some cases that the NCAA decides very quickly, like the Cam Newton scandal at Auburn and the Lance Thomas affair at Duke, because without subpoena power, the governing boobs of college athletics have to take the word of a few people they trust or rely on hearsay evidence that is not very clear. In PJ's case, he admitted driving the car rented by Fats What's-His-Name from Durham, and UNC parking tickets show Hairston was driving another of Fats's cars for an extended period of time. It's up to the NCAA to decide how much of it was impermissible. Meanwhile, Williams and the Tar Heels prepare to open the season without their best player for an unknown number of games. Bummer. This is our chance, dude. See ya.
WCHL's Chapel Hill cover of weather, 38 degrees in Chapel Hill right now. Sunny skies today, cooler. High today about 58 degrees and really a nice weekend. Tomorrow for Carolina football, sunny with a high in the low 60s.
Check out our comprehensive community calendar, photo galleries, and all of our news stories and more from 97.9 FM WCHL.
CBS News Update, I'm Dave Barrett. Delayed a week because of last month's partial government shutdown, the October jobless figures are out, 204,000 non-farm jobs created. National unemployment rate is 7.3%, up from September's 7.2%.
There's no question there was an impact on both unemployment and employment in these data.
The economist Joel Naroff there says numbers reflect the shutdown.
There were a lot of people who were directly laid off, government workers who filed for unemployment insurance, and they became unemployed. We had a lot of people who worked for companies that might have provided services to the government.
But still, 204,000 jobs were created last month. And for those looking for a permanent position,
businesses are looking past the government shutdown into what's going to happen at the end of this year and really the first half of next year.
Once again, 204,000 non-farm jobs created. Unemployment 7.2%. CBS News Update, I'm Dave Barrett.
This hour of the morning news is presented by Durham Tech, offering affordable and accessible quality education throughout Orange and Durham counties. Visit durhamtech.edu and click on Continuing Education.
WCHL News, Talk and Tar Heels at 97.9 FM, WCHL.
832 at WCHL, 38 degrees, sunshine today, high today in the upper 50s. I'm Rod Stutz. A new dual-language magnet school is in the works for the Chapel Hill Carborough City School System. The parents showed up at last night's school board meeting to say, not so fast. WCHL's Elizabeth Friend has details.
The Chapel Hill Carborough City Schools Board last night backed away from a proposal to convert an existing elementary into a new dual-language magnet school in time for the start of the 2014 school year.
I'm not interested in doing something super major by 2014. I think that our communities will not support that, and I can't support that.
That's Board Chair Shel Brownstein. More than 100 parents turned out to protest both the plan and the timing. As many said, they learned of the proposal only 4 days prior to last night's school board meeting. The majority of the 40 speakers pleaded with the board to reconsider separating the traditional and Spanish dual language students at Carborough Elementary. Charlie West is the parent of two at the school.
That's what this program is supposed to do. It's integrating our community. It's working. It's building a better tomorrow for our community. Why would you want to dismantle that? I really don't know.
Although no school was named as a potential site for a new magnet, Carborough parents feared that the plan to combine Mandarin and Spanish dual language classrooms together in one magnet would pull apart Carborough Elementary, where currently half the students are enrolled in the Spanish dual language program. Many parents expressed frustration that school officials would consider such a sweeping change less than a year after both widespread redistricting and the conversion of Frank Porter Graham into the district's first magnet. Carrboro Alderwoman Jacqueline Gist said she's so strongly opposed to the plan, she was moved to address the school board in public for the first time in her 24 years as an elected official.
On behalf of our community, for economic development reasons, for the good of our children, for the walkability of our community, please do not take our children away from our school.
Alderman Sammy Slate also addressed the school board, speaking in both English and Spanish. Both aldermen said Carrboro leaders would likely vote next week to formally oppose the plan. This latest dual-language debate was sparked by the need to address overcrowding at Glenwood Elementary, home of the district's Mandarin Chinese dual-language program. Assistant Superintendent Todd LaFreeze said increased enrollment in the Mandarin program, combined with growth in the school's attendance zone, put the district's smallest school, nearly 100 students, over capacity this year, with that number expected to rise in coming years. And while spot redistricting for Glenwood may be a short-term solution, LaFreeze said the school board needs to develop a comprehensive, long-range plan for the future of the Mandarin program.
A plan for Mandarin dual language and the expansion is needed really before proceeding with any movement of students.
He suggested slowing the expansion of the program might be the best choice for the district at this time.
I kind of feel like we may have had horse blinders on as we've tried to get the Mandarin expansion to fit. And so I question, I guess, whether the lens needs to be broader and consider whether we really should be trying to develop solutions to facilitate an expansion at this time, at the expense of disruption to the district.
Some school board members were hesitant to embrace that idea, however, having voted in 2012 to expand the program, and more recently to add an additional dual-language classroom at Glenwood. Here's board member James Barrett.
There was a unique opportunity to add a single class because of a wonderful teacher who could teach both sides. That was a unique opportunity. We took advantage of it and started this class earlier than we had originally planned to.
Instead, the majority of the board indicated a preference for spot redistricting to temporarily relieve overcrowding at Glenwood while officials create a broader plan for the dual language program. Superintendent Tom Forsella told the crowd that ultimately, changes to the dual language program could impact the district as a whole.
I understand the concern from the people from Carrboro, but you have to understand that as this conversation evolves, it's not just including Carrboro, it's Sewell, it's Rashkitz, it's FPG, and it's Northside. As we get deeper into the weeds on what the ramifications could be.
Currently, the school board has no timeline for a decision on spot redistricting, the magnet plan, or other proposals. Administrators will return with recommendations for the board in the near future. Elizabeth Friend, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Economically disadvantaged children in the Chapel Hill Carrboro City School System did not meet state standards under the new Common Core Ready system, but state officials and district leaders alike say the new system needs time to normalize. Chapel Hill Carrboro City Schools Superintendent Tom Forsella says plans have already been put into motion to improve on the numbers that, for the most part, met or exceeded the new standards in most of the categories.
We've created a new long-range plan, a new vision for the school district, which is rooted in the concept of a growth mindset, which believes that intelligence is not stagnant, that IQ was developed as a way to sort children.
Executive Director of Testing and Program Evaluation for the school system, Diane Vilwatt, says the new Common Core standards are all about better understanding the information.
The difference in Common Core is there's far fewer standards, so the amount of stuff that people are supposed to learn in a given year is quite a bit smaller, but they're going to learn it at a much deeper level.
Vilwatt says it's important for parents not to jump to conclusions about the numbers because there's really no way of telling just how the numbers stack up.
It's significantly unlike, so much so that they said this is baseline data, it's our first year picture, and we can't compare it to last year. And I've been doing this job for over 20 years, and we've never said that before.
You can view the line-by-line test scores throughout the district and statewide by viewing the story on WCHL's website, chapelboro.com. A consensus debate over redevelopment at Central West has grabbed most of the recent headlines here in Chapel Hill. But in the meantime, town officials say they're advancing toward real progress in another of the town's designated focus areas. WCHL's Aaron Keck reports.
We think there's an opportunity for creating something great in this district if we do it right.
That's Chapel Hill Economic Development Director Dwight Bassett talking about the ongoing quest to redevelop the area around the intersection of Ephesus Church Road and Fordham Boulevard.
We've been meeting since February, beginning to initiate that new zoning for the district. We came out in August with the first draft of that new zoning, and we had a meeting on Monday night. moving to planning board for consideration on the 19th of this month and then on to council from there.
The Ephesus Church Fordham area was identified last year by the Chapel Hill 2020 Comprehensive Plan as a focal point for redevelopment. The plans have been in motion to make improvements there for more than 3 years, ever since the town launched the planning initiative in July of 2010. Town Council approved a small area plan in June of 2011. Bassett says that was followed by 2 years of functional engineering, only recently completed, to assess the feasibility of improving traffic and stormwater in the vicinity. The area already houses several key developments, most notably Rams Plaza, East Gate, and the Village Plaza, but it's also home to a long-abandoned Volvo dealership and some of Chapel Hill's most notoriously bad traffic. Traffic made worse by the fact that drivers have difficulty getting in and out of Rams Plaza. Town officials generally agree that those problems are making it impossible for the Ephesus Church Fordham area to fulfill its potential as a commercial center. And Bassett says he's especially excited about the redevelopment because that potential is extremely high.
I think what you're going to begin to see is it evolve to be a really cool district that has a little bit more of an urban characteristic, similar to downtown, but not replacing downtown.
When all is said and done, Bassett says the finished product will include extending roads to ease traffic, an entirely new aesthetic along Fordham Boulevard, and a lot of commercial and residential growth.
We proposed about 250,000 additional square feet of retail, a couple hundred thousand square foot of office, a couple hundred thousand square foot of new hotel uses, and about 1,000 new residences in that district.
Those plans could include the loss of one affordable housing complex, the park at Chapel Hill, and that has generated some concern. But Bassett says he's working with developers to ensure that about 300 of the 1,000 new housing units would meet the criteria of affordable housing. He says there are about 200 units in the area now, affordable and otherwise. Whether that will come to fruition remains to be seen. The town is also trying a new zoning procedure for the area called form-based coding, which cuts back on the number of specific requirements for buildings.
In form-based code, you focus more on the street presence, the public presence of the building. You do talk about height, but you don't get into specific uses in each floor and things of that sort. You simply regulate the overall design of the building at that point. To make sure it creates a great public amenity.
Form-based coding will help streamline the town's lengthy development process, but it also means town staff will have less oversight over the specific features of individual projects. That makes it all the more important for officials like Bassett to ensure that developers share the town's vision for what ought to go in Ephesus Church Fordham and how the area ought to look. And Bassett says those conversations are proceeding well.
I've developed a really close working relationship with all the property, most of the property owners in the district over the last 3 years. And we certainly have tried to instill the vision that we've set for the district. And I think the vast majority of them get that, and they kind of understand what we're looking for.
One way or the other, though, plans are moving ahead for the area. Bassett says construction on the new traffic pattern could begin as early as July. To offer your feedback on the Ephesus Church Fordham plan and get on the town's mailing list for updates, email LUMO, that's L-U-M-O, at townofchapelhill.org. Aaron Keck, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Thanks a lot for that report, Aaron. That full interview on WCHL's website, chapelbro.com. 8:41 at WCHL, running a little bit behind schedule this morning, but I wanted to give you an update on what's happening with high school football tonight. We talked a lot about Carolina football and Carolina women's soccer, basketball season tipping off tonight and all of that. But there is an exciting high school football game coming up tonight right here on WCHL. It's a final week of high school gridiron action in the regular season. Postseason play starts next week. A few intriguing local showdowns certainly have the potential to light up your Friday night. None more so than the Orange Panthers' drive to perfection in the regular season against Southern Durham. On chapelbro.com at 7 p.m., tune in to the undefeated Orange Crush Panthers as they attempt to put the finishing touches on the season with yet another win. This week, head coach Pat Moser's team faces a formidable opponent, the 8-2 Spartans of Southern Durham. Last week, Orange pulled away from perennial powerhouse Cardinal Gibbons, 49-28, and Southern Durham flattened Webb by a score of 56-7. Tune in to pregame coverage from Durham with Paul Connell tonight at 6:30 on 97.9 FM WCHL. And exclusively on chapelbro.com, you can catch live game coverage of the showdown starting at 7 p.m. There's plenty of other area action, including Cedar Ridge at Chapel Hill and Northwood traveling to face Cardinal Gibbons in Raleigh. And don't forget, each Friday, 6 p.m., WCHL's lively duo of Matt Oakes and Matt Paul will break down all the big games, sitting down with the head coaches of many of your favorite high school teams, releasing WCHL and Chapelboro's Super 6 rankings, making bold predictions, and unveiling the grid grade of the week. Tonight, Matt and Matt will chat with Orange's Pat Moser, Cedar Ridge's Chris Casey, and Northwood's Bill Hall. You can listen to previous podcasts and follow all the latest on the grid with Matt and Matt on our high school football page by clicking the WCHL link on the navigation bar at the top of our website, chapelroad.com. 8:43 at WCHL. Commentary on the way from Raleigh, Maine. It talks to all those people who were just elected in Chapel Hill and puts a lot of responsibility on your shoulders. And you'll also hear from D.G. Martin coming up on WCHL.
Today's Our Local Deals come from an array of great local businesses that want to help you get healthy and in shape. Get 73% off 12 small group personal training sessions and 2 nutrition consultations at Get In Shape for Women. You could also enjoy 68% off 3 small group Pilates sessions and 1 private session from Carolina Core Pilates. There's so many great deals. Find out more about these great deals and get them today at OurLocalDeal.com.
Most Americans are not aware that a child is born every 30 minutes with a lysosomal storage disease, one of them being MPS. Children are diagnosed each day and suffer physical pain before they lose their battle. On Saturday, November 16th at 9 a.m. at Bond Park in Cary, the National MPS Society is hosting the Walk for a Cure for MPS and related diseases. Every single dollar raised is directed toward research. Help us in the fight against rare diseases. For more information on how to participate or make a donation, please visit mpsrunnc.com.
Are you in a hamburger mood? Buns of Chapel Hill is serving up the best flippin' burgers in town 7 days a week. Voted the best in Chapel Hill by readers of the Independent Weekly, the Daily Tar Heel, the Chapel Hill News, Chapel Hill Magazine, and ChapelBurrow.com. Located right in the heart of downtown on Columbia Street, just steps away from Franklin, and online at BunsOfChapelHill.com. Buns of Chapel Hill will put you in the mood.
Always on the go? Let the design team at Best Tile make your next remodeling project a breeze. Our personal designers are here to help make your vision a reality. No muss, no fuss. And with a huge selection from around the world, you're sure to find the perfect tile right here without having to scour the triangle. With Best Tile, you don't have to put your life on hold to make your home beautiful again. Best Tile, local store, global selection, at the corner of 15501 and Garrett Road, or find us online at besttile.com.
It's 8:45 at WCHL. Good morning.
And now, WCHL presents the commentators.
This is Raleigh Mann. I once served on a jury that convicted a man who attacked his mayor with a baseball bat. This wasn't at a public meeting. The attacker went to the mayor's house and found his honor on his deck enjoying a drink with friends. Bruised a couple of ribs, but no bones were broken. Violence is the wrong way to settle differences, of course, but we might give this guy a little credit for caring so much about what his local politicians are doing to his town. That wouldn't happen here in Chapel Hill. But what does it say about Chapel Hill's voters that only 12% of us bothered to vote in Tuesday's town council elections? Not voting is a strange response to our state legislature, which, driven by the political agenda of puppet master Art Pope, is doing all it can to make it difficult for us to vote in any election. In Tuesday's election, about 8,700 of us, only 12% of those eligible to vote, chose 4 of our neighbors to make decisions for us in the next 4 years. They'll decide, for instance, what to build at Estes Drive and Martin Luther King Boulevard, what that will look like, feel like, how big it will be, what it will do to traffic. They will face increasing demand by developers to build even more developments in Chapel Hill, where they are, how big they are. Not voting in a Chapel Hill election means that we let someone else choose for us who will have the power to make all those decisions and others in our behalf. Well, I, for one, care deeply about who gets to decide for me what living in my town will be like now and in the year 2020. That's why I voted. Did my choices get elected? 4 out of 5 did, if you count the mayor, who ran unopposed. So congratulations to Mayor Mark Kleinschmidt and council members George Cienciola, Sally Green, Ed Harrison, and Maria Palmer. For these next 4 years, you have the power to speak for me. For all of us, we're counting on you to get it right. This is Raleigh Mann.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators, local people, local issues, on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Do you remember about an hour ago when Wayne Pond had our word of the day? What is the word? What's it mean? And how do you spell it correctly? 919-929-WCHL is your number to call if you know the answers to those questions. And if you're the first to get in with the correct answers, then I will give you a $10 gift card to Cruisers. The word of the day on WCHL, always a little before 8 a.m., Monday through Friday, brought to you by Franklin Street Realty. Why would you call anyone else? else. Your number to call right now, 919-929-WCHL. I'm Ron Stutz.
Now on WCHL, a page from D.G. Martin's notebook.
Well, why this week would Chapel Hill be remembering Bill Neal, the noted chef and author who died in 1991? Well, one reason is that UNC TV is re-airing on its UNC MX cable channel a program featuring Morton Neal, Bill Neal's former wife and the author of a 2004 memoir called Remembering Bill Neal, Favorite Recipes from a Life in Cooking. Well, another more important reason is a responsibility we have to celebrate the people who made our town such a wonderful place to live. R.A. Apple, writing in the New York Times about the year 1985, when he said, keen young cooks in cities all across the country were reviving and rejuvenating American regional cooking. And he said, in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, a cosmopolitan, if out-of-the-way corner of the New South, Bill Neal, a self-taught 34-year-old graduate of Duke University, was plowing the same furrow at a restaurant called Cook's Corner. He won regional renown for dishes like boned quail and shrimp with grits. He wrote a highly influential book called Southern Cooking. Craig Claiborne of the New York Times came to visit and to praise, a sure sign that a chef had arrived. Well, 22 years now after Neal's death, Cook's Corner is still a living, breathing, smelling, and tasting monument to the revolution in Southern food that Neal helped lead. Well, reporter Apple quoted noted food writer John Edge, who said Neal was the first Southerner who applied an academic rigor to cooking. We were not very proud back then of ourselves or our cuisine, and he rekindled our respect for the cooking of our own forebears. Well, when Bill Neal died in 1991, as Morton Neal wrote in her introduction to her book, he was just hitting his stride as a food writer. The success of his first two cookbooks allowed him to retire from the grueling job of running a restaurant kitchen, and by 1988 he was devoting most of his time to writing. Morton Neal continues, Bill's flair for the written word, his passion for history, and his genius for cooking and gardening promised so much more for his readers. His untimely death surely deprived us of many volumes. Well, Morton Neal's book was both a memoir and a collection of recipes from their time at La Residence Restaurant, his time at Cook's Corner, and their family's favorite dishes cooked at home. She says, because this book is meant to be a Best of Bill collection, I have included Hoppin' John, shrimp and grits, chocolate chess pie, and many more classics from Bill Neal's Southern Cooking, biscuits, spoon bread and sweet potato pie, and good old grits. Just hearing that list of dishes and titles of Bill Neal's books will make our mouths water and prompt us to say thank you to Bill Neal and Morton Neal for enriching our lives, and remind us to find a television set connected to cable channel 172 next Wednesday at 11:30 a.m. to watch Morton Neal talk about remembering Bill Neal. This is D.G. Martin.
Thank you, D.G., but you're making me really hungry, you know that? It's 8:52 at WCHL, 39 degrees in Chapel Hill. Look for a high today of about 58 degrees. A lot of sunshine. In fact, a lot of sunshine all weekend long. Our word of the day is pernicious, P-E-R-N-I-C-I-O-U-S. It means harmful, highly injurious, or even deadly. Pernicious. Mickey Vernon of Chapel Hill called in with the word of the day on WCHL. Mickey gets a $10 gift card to Cruisers. Thank you very much for listening, Mickey. Our hometown hero on the way next.
And now it's time for the professionals. Local service, daily insights.
I'm Bill Cederberg. I'm the owner of Cederberg Kitchens and Additions in Chapel Hill since 1986. We do full-scale remodeling, specializing in kitchens and baths, small additions, anything that is related to to remodeling of an existing residence.
You do all kinds of additions, don't you?
I've added third stories to existing houses. I've dug out basements. I've done some suite type of additions where you have maybe a master suite with a bathroom and a large bedroom and maybe a sitting area. We've done a lot of different things, and we've done a lot of real simple things. Building a small porch on the front of the house or changing the facade, closet reworks, a variety of things.
Do you do porches and decks and patios and that sort of thing?
We've done a lot of patios with decks and or hard surfaces. Sometimes we'll bring in a landscaper, or maybe a landscaper has brought us in. But in Chapel Hill, one of the most popular things we do is cover decks and make them screen porches so that you can get a little more use out of that deck, enjoy the summer months a little more, really extend the seasons. Maybe making that space maybe a 8 to 9 month space as opposed to 4 or 5. And from time to time, we'll take that space and make it into what would more commonly be called a Florida room. Go to our website at cedarburgkitchens.com. You'll see examples of our work and some testimonials and products.
This has been The Professionals on WCHL, local service, daily insights.
For nearly a decade, Great Outdoor Provision Company and the local community have participated in our coat swap to help outfit North Carolinians in need. With your support, we have donated thousands of jackets to keep folks warm throughout the holidays. And starting Thursday, November 7th, we want to do it again for the people of Orange County. During this event, save 20% on qualifying outerwear when you bring in a gently used coat. Great Outdoor Provision Company. Like us on Facebook and learn more at greatoutdoorprovision.com.
7.5 million Americans live with the visible signs of psoriasis every day. However, there's finally an answer. X-Track Laser Therapy at Central Dermatology Center. With an average of 8 to 10 safe and pain-free treatments, patients have experienced meaningful clearance. It is FDA approved and it is accepted by all major insurances, including Medicare and TRICARE. So if you want to live clear and live free, X-Track Therapy is now available at Central Dermatology Center just off East 54 in Chapel Hill. Find out more at centralderm.net.
I cannot wait until next weekend. It's the biggest sale all year at Diamonds Direct Crabtree. 3 days of phenomenal savings November 15th through the 17th. Rings, earrings, bands, bracelets, colored gemstones, all on sale. Best prices of the year store-wide, plus all new designer jewelry is being flown in just for this event. Every piece on sale. Guys, if you're thinking jewelry for the holidays, you cannot miss this. 3 days of eye-popping savings next weekend, November 15th through the 17th. Diamonds Direct Crabtree on Glenwood outside Crabtree Valley Mall.
Recovers the loose ball. And he hit a three.
Oh, he did it. It's here. Time for another exciting Carolina basketball season. The season tips off this Friday night as the Tar Heels host Oakland at 9 p.m. in the historic Dean Smith Center. Tickets are still available for the first three home games, including Holy Cross, as a part of the Hall of Fame Tip-Off Classic.
Alley-oop to Pocono. Whoa, keep a roof on the building. That was sweet.
And you don't want to miss any of the action all season long. Visit GoHeels.com for your tickets today.
Thank you, superstar, disc jockey, morning talk show host. Been here forever, keeping us doing it right, Ronstadt.
41 degrees in Chapel Hill, 856 at WCHL.
This is Gerald Ramoyne, General Manager, Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights a great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
Francis Dancy is stepping down from her position as a town board member in Hillsboro after 16 years. This is the end of your fourth term as a board member, and I know you made an announcement back in the summer that you would not be running for re-election. What led you to that decision?
I think it was time for a change. I think I had done a lot of things and accomplished a lot of things in the town that I think some new blood might add some more energy to it. Also, I had been doing it so long, it takes up a lot of your time. So I have given up 16 years of my personal time in meetings, and there are a lot of meetings more than just the town board meetings. So, and I have meetings in Raleigh that could even take me to Roxboro or wherever with the Triangle J Council of Governments. I just felt it. My instinct said, okay, it's time to go.
Francis Dancy is today's WCHL hometown hero. What are you most proud of what you've been able to accomplish?
Well, actually, to bring the town up to being more efficient. When I came on board on the town, we were still dealing with what's now Waterstone. It used to be been several, had been a couple of more names. Now we're seeing some of the fruition of some of the tough decisions that we made about that project. Now it's moving forward. I saw the beginnings of the reservoir being built and seeing other things that are going on in the town and see the town move forward and become more vibrant, getting sidewalks and parks, getting things done in different neighborhoods.
You've got enough to do already. I mean, you've got a full-time job at the university. Yes. Tell me about that.
I'm business officer at the Carolina Population Center, and I'm pretty active here. I do some travel and do a lot of planning because we are a very active group over here, and I do a lot of public service work on my own also.
What are your plans for the future? What are you going to do to spend the time that you used to spend working for the town of Hillsboro, and are you planning on getting back into politics or staying involved in politics?
Well, I will probably attend some meetings, but only when I want to. Well, I'm involved in my alumni association, so that keeps me kind of busy. And I've always wanted to volunteer at the hospital to rock the babies. So that is something that I may do in a few months or so after I'll kind of wind down and get politics off my mind.
Well, Frances, you've still got the best name in local politics.
Thank you so much.
I mean, Frances Dancy. How cool is that?
Hey.
On behalf of all the people in Hillsboro, thank you so much for doing the job that you've done over so many years.
Thank you so very much. I've enjoyed doing it.
And get some rest.
Thank you so much, Ryan.
Today's WCHL hometown hero is Frances Dancy.
Performance Auto Mall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight. And remember, at Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru. But we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles. At Performance Auto Mall, we can find your next automobile, no matter the brand. We promise.
This hour of the morning news is presented by Durham Tech Community College. Want a head start on college or career skills? A great opportunity awaits you at Durham Tech. Online at durhamtech.edu.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL. Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
At 9 o'clock,
here is the equation. Commerce plus social equity plus environmental stewardship.